Welcome to another episode of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5. Good morning, and it's time for you to wake up. And we have on tap our hosts for today, Walter Pierce, Christopher Lynch, and of course, our student, not student advisor, adult student advisor, Mr. Shelton Harris. And everybody will be chiming in just one moment. But I just have to say, music, like poetry, has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear in the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. News can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back the curtain and see the different perspectives of our contribution, and you will find our quest moment, where we attempt to make waves. Yes, that's right. In fact, vibration. So thank you once again on this lovely morning for joining us to hear information concerning our diaspora. And now, our student host.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 WSOU. But for my first segment of today, we're going to be talking about, you know, the sad passing of a trailblazing woman of the name of Cicely Tyson, who passed away January 28, 2021, at the age of 96. You know, Cicely Tyson, the award-winning actress who trailblazed a career across several decades and appeared in countless TV shows and film, Broadway plays, again, passed away at the age of 96. But Tyson, who first entered the spotlight as a model, was well-known across the entertainment industry, earning 2 Emmy Awards, Best Leading Actress in a Drama, and Best Actress in a Special, for her role as a former slave in the 1974 drama, The Autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. In a defining moment of the film, Pittman walks up and drinks from the whites only water fountain. She says, "Well, when I'm working, I just tell everybody." I said, "I don't care what you see. Please don't tell me about it, because I work so organically." So the next day, when I came on the set, I knew something had happened. And I simply said, "Please, don't tell me. I don't want to know." And people were talking about the walk. I said, "What walk?" In 1994, she won a Supporting Actress Emmy for her role in The Oldest Living Confederate Widow Tells All, and a Tony Award in 2013 at age 88, for Best Leading Actress in the play, The Trip to Bountiful. She starred alongside Vanessa Williams, who was inspired by Tyson's work ethic. According to a 2015 interview, she says, "She did not miss one performance ever. There's no excuse to not show up when Cicely Tyson can show up every day." Tyson was among a group of 21 actors, musicians, athletes, and innovators in 2016, who were awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor, by former President Barack Obama. In her long and extraordinary career, Cicely Tyson has not only succeeded as an actor, she has shaped the whole course of history. Mr. Obama said in a presentation, "Cicely was never the likeliest of Hollywood's, the daughter of immigrants from the West Indies. She was raised by a hardworking and religious mother who cleaned houses and forbade her children to attend the movies. But once she got her education and broke into the business, Cicely made a conscious decision not just to say lines, but to speak out." In 2015, Tyson was celebrated with a Kennedy Center honor for her contributions to American culture, paving the way for African Americans in the industry. In 2018, she was awarded an honorary Oscar at the annual Governor's Award. And she says, "I come from lowly status. I grew up in an area where it called the slums at the time. I still can't imagine that I have met the president, kings, and queens. How did I get here? I marvel at it," she says. And in 2020, she was inducted into the Television Academy's Hall of Fame and received a Career Achievement Peabody Award. And her memoir, Just As I Am, was released on January 26th, which was 2 days before her passing. And she was even on the interview for CBS This Morning talking about her memoir with Gayle King. And, you know, that concludes my segment on Cicely Tyson. You know, a very long life that she lived, that she inspired so many African Americans to work so hard because she showed up to work every day, even at her age. So when you see somebody of her age prospering like she was, it's going to inspire you to keep going and to work even harder. So shout out to Miss Cicely Tyson, and may she rest in peace. Thank you.
Yeah, you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And did you know, every day is Black History. And right now, it's time for our next student host, Christopher Lynch, with his segment of Diamonds.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, everybody. So here's another diamond for you. My diamond is on a brother named Charles S.L. Baker. Charles S.L. Baker was an American inventor who patented the friction heater. Early in his life, Charles Baker was born into slavery on August 3rd, 1859, in Savannah, Missouri. His mother, Bessie McKay, died when he was just 3 months old, leaving him to be brought up by the wife of his owner, Sally McKay, and his father, Abram. His invention, he worked on over the span of decades in, on his product, attempting several different forms of friction, including rubbing two bricks together mechanically, as well as using various types of metal. After 23 years, the invention was perfected, and in the form of two metal cylinders, one inside of the other, with a spinning core in the center made of wood that purchased the friction, that produced the friction. Baker started his business with several other men to manufacture the heater. The Friction Heater and Boiler Company was established in 1904 in St. Joseph, with Baker on board of directors. The company worked up $136,000 in capital. That's equal to nearly $4 million in 2018. Mr. Baker claimed that the particular mode of power used to create friction is not essential. It may be wind, water, gasoline, or any other source of energy. The most difficult part of the inventor's assertion to prove is that the system will light or heat a house at about half the cost. Baker, at 21, married a 19-year-old Carrie Carringer on December 12, 1880. He had one child born on July 3, 1822, named Lulu Bell Baker. And Baker had died of pneumonia May 5, 1926, in St. Joseph, Missouri. Charles Baker was the first man to invent a friction heater. And that concludes my segment of Diamond on Charles Baker.
Okay. Well, that friction heater, in fact, is what we know today as the radiator. And it's used in practically everyone's home, unless you live down south or next to the equator. As we continue in the spirit of Black
Time.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmony.
Rejoicing arise high as a deep sea in sky.
Definition, and the intro for definitions is this provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And today's definition is more of a phrase, but we're still going to be looking into the history of this, and it is Black History Month. And, you know, I want to talk about how Black History Month came about. Now, see, as a Harvard-trained historian, Carter G. Woodson, like W.E.B. Du Bois before him, believed that truth could not be denied and that reason would prevail over prejudice. His hopes to raise awareness of African Americans' contributions to civilization was realized when he and the organization he founded, the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, conceived and announced Negro History Week in 1925. The event was first celebrated during a week in February of 1926 that encompassed the birthdays of both Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. The response was overwhelming. Black history clubs sprang up, teachers demanded materials to instruct their pupils, and progressive whites, not simply white scholars and philanthropists, stepped forward to endorse the effort. By the time of Woodson's death in 1950, Negro History Week had become a central part in the African-American life, and substantial progress had been made in bringing more Americans to appreciate the celebration. At mid-century, mayors of cities nationwide issued proclaims noting Negro History Week. The Black Awakening of the 1960s dramatically expanded the consciousness of African Americans about the importance of Black history. And the Civil Rights Movement focused on Americans of all colors on the subject of the contributions of African Americans to our history and culture. The celebration was expanded to a month in 1976. The nation's bicentennial, President Gerald R. Ford, urged Americans to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. That year, 50 years after the first celebration, the association held the first African American History Month. By this time, the entire nation had come to recognize the importance of Black history and the drama of the American story. Since then, each American president has issued African American History Month proclamations. In the association, now the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, continues to promote the study of Black history all year. And that concludes my segment on the definition for today, Black History Month. But as we all know, as we all should know, Black history shouldn't just be celebrated and taken serious for a month. It should be noted all year for all people. You know, I've started doing that myself, and I'm trying to encourage others. You know, we shouldn't just learn our history and be serious about knowing our history for a month. We should be doing this all year. We should be spreading knowledge, understanding our ancestors that came before us, our role models, so we could give a better understanding of our history so there could be less ignorance. And, you know, I'm just hoping that once we continue to make progress, our actual Black history, which it seems like it's starting to be, hopefully be more incorporated when you talk about U.S. and American history, because we are the history of this country since we are the ones who built it. So So that really just concludes what I have for Black History Month, and I hope you enjoyed. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Great job on Black History, an integral part of American history. As musically we continue, this is Quest Community Vibe. Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange with our next definition.
Hey, hey, hey. So, as a continuation, my diamond kind of led me towards this definition today. My diamond of Mr. Charles Lewis Baker, he was an inventor. That is also my definition. Dr. Brother Charles Lewis Baker, he had sat and played with parts until he made something happen. He had an idea in his head. Let me read to you what the definition is. Invention is applied to the contrivance and production of something mechanical that did not often mechanical. It did not before exist for the utilization of powers of nature long known or lately discovered by investigation. Discovery brings light to that which existed before but was not known. So, Mr. Charles Baker, like I mentioned a few moments back, would sit and play with pieces until he could put the things together that made sense, that made the idea in his head work. He had an idea of something that did not exist before, like what the definition said about invention. He would make it happen, and he had it visualized in his head. And it inspires me because of, as someone who creates things, invents things that was not there before, it's all inspiring. Me, I'm no mechanical engineer or anything like that. I just create music and write poetry and lyrics, but still it comes from nowhere. Not that it comes from nowhere. It once didn't exist. So as an inventor, it pleases me to be able to consider myself as such. But Mr. Charles Baker, he's definitely world-renowned because he created the first radiator, as we call it today, which was the frictional heater. But that was my definition for today, invention, which was inspired by Mr. Charles Baker.
All right. You are indeed a creative, writing music and poetry. As we continue, it is Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio.
My love.
more than 35 years, Quest Youth Radio, which originated as Quest Community Vibrations, has been a stomping and training ground for young college students and high school students. And your facilitator, myself, Mr. Bay, better known as Dr. Bombay, continues the program, but I just wanted to give you a note of what you're listening to. It is Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 with our next segment of Chains of Events. You see, Chains of Events is an interpretation of news as it affects the community. From the Alloys of North, it is a report on events in politics, education, law, religion, and science. Chains of Events reveals the interpretation of one event to another so that you, yeah, that's right, I'm talking to you, the listener, will know what's happening. Now, with an emphasis on mental health and, more importantly, I just want to share a story with you. This story has been told many times over. The title of the story is The Elephant Rope. The story begins as a man was passing an elephant. He suddenly stopped, confused by the fact that these huge creatures were being held by only a small rope tied to their foot leg, their front leg. No chains, no cages. It was obvious that the elephant could at any time break away from the bounds. For some reason, they did not. He saw a trainer nearby and asked why these animals that just stood there and made no attempt to get away. Well, the trainer said, when they're very young and much smaller, we use the same size rope to tie them. And at that age, it's enough to hold them. Now, as they grow older, they're conditioned to believe that they cannot break away. They believe that the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free. The man was amazed. These animals could at any time break free from the bond, but because they believed they couldn't, they were stuck right where they were. Like elephants, how many of us go through life hanging on a belief that we cannot do something simply because we failed at it once? Failure is a part of learning, and we should never give up. Never give up the struggle in life. And this, my friends, is not just mental health, but a message of mental slavery. So do not allow yourself to be conditioned. We have definitely passed the halfway point of our program. But we continue musically with something different. Well, not musically, but a speech by Martin Luther King.
Every now and then, I guess we all think realistically,
yes, sir,
about that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something that we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense. Every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. And I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the wall question. I want you to be able to say, that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian, or if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your right or your left side. Not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side, not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition, but I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth and in commitment to others so that we can make of this old world a new world.
Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A 1-2, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, comp says the beat is short shot. Come on.
I met this girl when I was 10 years old. And what I love most, she had so much soul. She was old school, but I was just a shorty, never knew. Throughout my life, she would be there for me or the regular. Not a church girl, she was secular. Not about the money, those steps was my checker, but I respected her. She hit me in the heart. A few New York hunks had dinner in the park. But she was there for me, and I was there for her. Pull out a chair for her, turn on the air for her, and just cool out. Cool out and listen to her. Sitting on bone, wishing that I could do eventually if it was meant to be.
And now it's time for our next segment of curtains. I almost said chains of events, Mr. Harris, but take it away.
Not a problem. First thing, I'm the OTEP family. Good morning. And curtains, at least as we see it, is an exposure and analysis of an artist and their work behind the curtain and stage. Many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of our community. But what benefits has the community gained from the artists? Today, we're going to pull the curtain back on at least one of my favorite artists, Common, who was born Lonnie Rashid Lynn Jr. in March of 1972 in Chicago to an educator and a professional basketball player. He adopted the name Common Sense and became an underground rapper whose reputation became known for his thoughtful and progressive lyrics as compared to the top rap artists of the time. His album, Resurrection, produced by Kanye West, pre-Kardashian, featured the single I Used to Love Her, which we heard a little bit of just a minute ago, followed by One Day It'll All Make Sense, which included contributions from Lauryn Hill and De La Soul, along with many others. Common won a Grammy in 2003 for the best R&B song called The Love of My Life, and Ode to Hip Hop. It was a collaboration with Erykah Badu. As a matter of fact, during his music career, he received numerous awards for his movies and his music. Actually, Common became the first rapper to win an Emmy, Grammy, and an Oscar. But more important than that, over 10 years ago, he committed his time and his resource to help inner city youth in his hometown of Chicago by founding the Common Ground Foundation, which works reaches high school students through mentoring and college preparation programs. They focus on areas like nutrition and healthy living, financial literacy, which is very important, character development, and creative expression. Common's commitment to the foundation is both in spirit and in deed, as he donates significant time and resources to the organization. He also takes time to talk to youth around the country to keep inspiring them to dream beyond their circumstances. The foundation serves over 300 students from more than 30 schools in Chicago's South and West Side neighborhoods. Their mentors are educators and health professionals that come from similar backgrounds as the student. They provide academic, social, and emotional support whenever needed. Their students come from the low socioeconomic areas in Chicago who have the potential to achieve and graduate high school. They just need an extra layer of support outside of their family and school. What I can say is we need more brothers like Common that deal with going to the source of our future progress, the youth, kind of like what we do here at Quest Youth Radio. Maybe we'll be blessed with another sample of his music. Common Sense.
Court, her knees buckle, staying for a man to survive. He need hustle, seen and been through struggle a whole life. Made the transition from being his to his wife. Stifling, the night had been the ATF busting. Her daddy was a hustler, so she loved him. Looked at the jury, how can they judge him? She screamed. In her chest, her face with tears, had a man's back, he was facing years, in her name, though the place was his, they trying to take everything except the kids, for years she been through scuffling fights, while he trying to hustle that white, up all night, wondering if he's alive, seeing him try, she bubbled inside and screamed. Judge yelled for order, court reporter making her words shorter. His lawyer sat next to him. She could see how the trial was affecting him. It hurt for her eyes to connect with him. Using her lies for protecting him. They arrested him for murder and gun possession as they read back her confession.
Well, basically, we got a tip that Mr. Washington might be involved in these two deaths. From that tip, we found a gun in his home. We found 4 kilos of cocaine in his house. That gave us motive. The intent for us, it was a rap. That's about as strong a case as we can get.
She screamed. The court awaited as the foreman got the verdict from the bailiff. Emotional outburst, tears, and smeared makeup. It stated was guilty on all charges. She shaking, looking like she took it the hardest. A spin artist, she brought her face up laughing. That's when the prosecutor realized what happened. All that speaking of mind, testifying and crying. When this did the crime, the queen pen.
Your husband without an anonymous tip.
We the lions out here, baby. You know, this is the jungle.
All I know is that my husband is a good man.
One thing you could do is you could trust me.
Good man, good husband, good father. A lot of coke, a lot of dead folks in you.
There are times when you need someone. I never knew a la, 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 a la like this. Gotta be something for me to write this. Queen, I ain't seen you in a minute. Wrote this letter and finally decided to send it. Sign, still delivered for us to grow together. Love has no limit, let's spin a slow forever. I know your heart is weathered by what does did to you. I ain't gonna start them cause I probably did it too. Because of you feelings I handle with care. Some recognize your life, they can't.
Okay, we want to come back, breaking in into the sounds of Common. And Mr. Harris, I know you've done your research on Common, but from the music that we played, can you give us an analysis of what he's talking about and how it relates to our community in today's time?
Yeah, well, he was one of those brothers that once he heard like hip hop, he instantly fell in love with it as a child. And that's what the song I Used to Love Her was about. Her was actually hip-hop. And he talked about how she went through all the different changes, and he kind of stood by her regardless. And the other one we did about Testify, you know, he was talking about how sometimes you can think your woman is by your side, but she'll throw you under the bus for the right amount of money. And then that's what, he was from the streets of Chicago. So, you know, he kind of knew what was going on. And, you know, he talks plain about what's going on. And, you know, when he's in love, and he's been in love a whole lot, you know, when he's in love, he'll write some pretty nice stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Harris. Excellent job. We want to bring in Calvin and ask him what he's thought of the program so far as we round out to almost conclude our show. Calvin, good morning and welcome. What do you think so far? You have a question or a comment?
Just a comment, sir. Great job. Great information. Love the historical contents of what you guys done today. Keep up the good work.
Okay. We want to bring Christopher Lynch, one of our student hosts, back in. And so far, what do you think about what you've learned, the job that you've done today, and the program as a whole?
Well, for me, as always, the job is a pressurized job. You know, it gives us that fight or flight sense. But it's a good thing for me because pressure does one of two things, the proverbial pressure bust pipes or pressure creates diamonds. And boy, oh boy, we don't create diamonds every time we come on here. But the information of today is always, the information of today was amazing. You know, we learned a few things about a few different individuals, words, and we got some understanding about different philosophies of life. And it's pretty cool for me, as always. You know, I'm always looking for the information and the knowledge to grow more. And the music selection, you know, Common's a real lyrical guy. You know, his lyrics aren't just pointless. So that was good to be able to listen to some music like that. You know, I was really rocking with Lift Every Voice and Sing, though. But, yeah, the show's great, though.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, let me ask that same question, Walter. Before you close us out, what did you think about today's show?
I thought it was a lot of great information being passed around in today's show. You know, I was able to incorporate, you know, it's Black History Month, so, you know, we got to give credit. And we got to express, you know, how this month came about and all the hard work that came behind it. And, you know, everybody else's, Chris's segment, Mr. Harris' segment, even you, Mr. Bay, just everybody's segments coming together and helping the audience learn and do their research on things that we taught them. It's always a great show. There's always something good that we do.
Okay. Mr. Harris, as you know, I always love to come back to you, but I just want your take on my mental slavery segment and the elephant and the rope. How does that relate quickly in 10 seconds?
It's always relevant, and any kind of information that'll lead to people to a greater understanding of the condition that they're in is relevant. And the elephant in the rope is relevant because we've been taught for a long time that there's certain things that we can't do or we're not good enough. And we, over the years, we started to believe some of that. You know, hopefully people will recognize that there's more to us than what meets the eye.
Okay. Close us out, Walter.
Community Vibrations live on 89.5 WSOU. And as we go out always, Questions Radio is the best
you radio. Yep.